morning. I will be talking about some of my preliminary research investigating the electrophysiological response of dogwood borer to apple host volatiles. The dogwood borer, or Cynanthodon scutula, is a clear-winged moth in the family Cicidae. Larvae are cambium feeders, which normally enter their hosts through cracked or damaged bark. Dogwood borer are found throughout the eastern United States and Canada and have the broadest host range among the North American Cicidae. Since the mid-1980s, there's been an increase in the number of apple orchards planted on size-controlling rootstocks. This has enabled growers to increase tree densities and yields while reducing the time, labor, and costs associated with management and harvest. An unfortunate consequence of these rootstocks is that they promote the formation of burr knots, or adventitious root primordia, primarily near the graft union at the base of trees. And it's these burr knots which appear to be preferred areas for oviposition by dogwood borer females. And infestations of larvae can potentially lead to reductions in tree health, and eventually, in severe cases, tree death. So my overall research objectives are to determine if there are behaviorally active olfactory stimuli associated with apple host tissues to which female dogwood borer respond, and to determine if these stimuli are used by females to locate oviposition sites. So I've been using coupled gas chromatography and electroentenogram detection analysis of host tissues to see if there are any compounds that elicit an electrophysiological response in mated females. Once I'm able to determine what compounds females are able to perceive or smell using this technique, I can then use behavioral bioassays to see if these same compounds elicit a behavioral response involved with host finding or oviposition site selection. I'm concerned with answering these questions because trapping studies using the recently identified female dogwood borer sex pheromone have shown that dogwood borer is much more abundant within apple orchards than was previously understood, more so than urban or even natural forest environments. Last year I spoke about how I've observed mated females exhibiting casting behavior towards and ovipositing on burr knot tissues in the field, suggesting that they're attracted to some olfactory stimuli associated with these specific tissues. Now, current management centers on the use of organophosphate insecticides. However, with the ongoing review of pesticide tolerances issued by the Food Quality and Protection Act, the future availability of some of the more effective of these insecticides remains uncertain. So development of behavioral-based management strategies, those targeting the female, may aid with environmentally friendly approaches to future management. So the initial questions that I set out to answer were, one, do female dogwood borer antenna respond to volatile compounds collected from apple tissue? If so, what is the chemical identity of these physiologically active compounds, and are they tissue specific? So in order to conduct these studies, I needed a large number of adult moths, which were obtained by collecting larvae from infested trees in commercial apple orchards. The larvae were placed in small cups with a general lepidopteran diet and then placed in an environmental chamber at 25 degrees Celsius with a 16:8 light-dark cycle. After pupation, pupae were sexed and then placed in individual containers until emergence, at which time pairs of male and female moths were introduced into mating cages to obtain mated females. Volatiles were initially collected from three intact living apple tissues, the bark, uninfested burr knot, and infested burr knot tissues. Volatiles were collected using a calibrated electric vacuum pump which drew air through an absorbent at a rate of approximately 1 liter per minute. After a 48-hour collection period, the adsorbent was then taken to the lab and rinsed with methylene chloride, which was then concentrated using an argon stream. Volatiles eliciting an electrophysiological response were determined via the GCEAD technique using antennal preparations of both mated and virgin females 1 to 7 days old. Once electrophysiologically active compounds were determined, we then determined the identity, the exact structure and nature of these compounds using coupled gas chromatography, mass spectrometry. So the initial results that we saw, GCEAD analyses of these three tissues, we saw that 15 compounds elicited an electrophysiological response in females. Of these, 14 compounds were found in all three tissue types. Only one compound, shown here in red, was found exclusively in infested burr knot tissue. Further analyses showed that there was no difference in the antennal response of mated versus virgin females, and that the response of females to these host odors was stronger than that of males. Of these 15 compounds, we decided to focus our attention on only five, because these five compounds elicited the most repeatable and strongest antennal responses, and we thought that these compounds offered the best opportunity to evaluate their behavioral activity. So using GCMS, we were able to identify these five compounds. The first three were aldehydes, octanol, nonanol, and decanol. The unique compound was alpha-bergamotene, a sesquiterpene hydrocarbon, and then the fifth compound, methyl salicylate, was a methyl ester. So next year I plan on looking at these five compounds in behavioral bioassays to see if they have any behavioral activity. However, in the meantime, I wanted to find out more about this unique compound, alpha-bergamotene. Again, it was found only in infested Burnott tissue, and it consistently elicited a strong electrophysiological response. So what we wanted to know was this compound emanating from the frass of infested Burnotts? And more specifically, was this an insect or plant-produced compound? So to answer this question, I collected fresh frass from infested Burnott tissue. I analyzed it using a solvent-free technology known as SPMI, or solid phase microextraction, which uses a small tip at the end of this device to adsorb volatiles. This tip can then be placed directly into the GC port for desorption and analyses. Now, our results show that bergamotene was the primary compound found within the frass collections, and that female dobrobor antennae responded very strongly toward it. Now, these results only occurred for frass samples that were kept for 24 hours. Frass samples that were kept for longer than that period, we found no alpha-bergamotene within those samples, suggesting that this compound was relatively short-lived. So we knew now that bergamotene came from fresh dogwood borer frass. However, we still were unsure if this was a purely insect-produced compound. So we collected volatiles from dogwood borer larvae, as well as dogwood borer larvae feeding on a general Lepidopteran diet. We also collected more fresh frass and introduced it directly into methylene chloride for 24 hours before it was filtered and then stored. Now, we did this to see if using a different collection method would yield the same results as those obtained through the SPMI analyses. And finally, we collected volatiles from wounded apple tissue to make certain that bergamotene was not produced by the host in response to feeding injury. So what I would do is actually get a knife and cut the bark of the tree and remove the cambium tissue to kind of simulate feeding damage. So this table shows which of the five compounds were found in each of the volatile collections. As you see, alpha-bergamotene was found only in infested Burnott tissue and dogwood borer frass using both collection methods. There was no alpha-bergamotene present on dogwood borer feeding on Lepidopteran diet or the dogwood borer larvae alone, and similarly not on the wounded apple tissue shortly after the initial wounding, and as well as 30 days after the wounding, suggesting that some larval plant interaction was responsible for the production of alpha-bergamotene. So in conclusion, our results showed that female dogwood borer antennae do respond to volatile compounds collected from apple tissue, that five of these compounds emanating from the apple tissue gave consistently strong antennal responses, and that one compound in particular, the alpha-bergamotene, was only found in infested Burnott tissue and dogwood borer larval frass, and that the presence of alpha-bergamotene is related to a larval plant interaction. So some other questions came up throughout the course of this research that we intend to pursue further, one of which, do volatile collections from other host plants have similar volatile profiles? It'd be interesting to see if these five compounds are found in some of the other host tissues that dogwood borer larvae have been known to feed on. Next, what is the magnitude of response to volatiles from other hosts compared with apple? As I mentioned before, dogwood borer is much more abundant within apple orchards than other environments, such as the urban or forest setting. So it'd be interesting to see if the compounds eliciting an electrophysiological and behavioral response in apple tissues is stronger than those found from the other host tissues. And finally, or next, is alpha-bergamotene produced in infested tissues from other host plants? It'd be interesting to see if this compound is produced with larvae feeding on dogwood, one of their more historically known host plants. And finally, how are these five compounds, are they involved with the behavioral activity of the MOST, involved with host binding or oviposition site selection? And this is something, this is kind of the crux of my research, something that I'm really looking to answer in the near future, and hopefully we'll be able to present next year. So, in conclusion, I'd like to thank the following for all their help with this research, and open up the remaining time to any questions that you may have. Thank you. Yes?
Are you continuously rearing your dogwood borer?
I am. It's kind of an ongoing project, trying to find the best method, I guess, to rear these. I've been using the dogwood borer diet, but it's not an optimal diet. The neonate larvae don't establish well on this, and they end up dying. So I've been using thinning apples, which have been used relatively well. Any other questions? Yes.
What sort of success do you get in your rearing disease?
Again, that's something I'm working on. The field collecting larvae do relatively well in the diet if they're older larvae. Again, the younger larvae tend to desiccate and die. But using the apples, the thinning apples, I'm able to get a good majority of the neonates to establish and pupate.
A little bit ground up grass and put the alpha bergamotine into the diet.
We get a lot of fungal contamination with that.
Yeah, that's an